Good morning and welcome to Pretoria Central Baptist Church on this beautiful first Sunday morning of the new year. Happy New Year to every one of you. My name is Peter Vumisa and I'm so excited to be worshiping with you today. If you are joining us for the first time, thank you so much for tuning in and for worshiping with us. I'm going to read from John chapter 1, verse 19 to 34. But before I do that, I would like to pray for us. Shall we pray? God our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we bow before you this wonderful day. We thank you, Lord, for your great love and mercy and kindness. We thank you, Lord, that by your grace you have brought us this far. We are thankful, Lord, that we can enter into the new year triumphantly and with your glory shining in our hearts. And Father, we pray that today, as we consider your word, we ask that, Lord, you speak to us in a special way, every one of us, according to our needs. We pray, Lord, that as you have ushered us into the new year, Lord, may you speak to us and encourage us, strengthen us, but at the same time, rebuke and correct us where we need correction. Father, we pray that as we spend time in this year, our desire is that we may honor and glorify your name. We are here as your servants, and we present ourselves to you so that, Lord, you send us, as you have commanded us, to go into the world and preach the gospel. So be with us, Lord, and may you bless every one of us, including those that are watching through the internet. And we pray that, Lord, you bless every one of them. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray and we give thanks. Amen. Our passage today is from John chapter 1, verse 19 to 34. And I'm going to read the passage, this passage first, and then I will tell you what the focus of the matter will be today. John chapter 1, verse 19 to 34, and the Bible reads, "And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I'm not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then are you? What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not. Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' So they said to him, 'Who are you?' We need to give an answer to those who sent us. 'What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me. The strap of his sandal I'm not worth to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Verse 29, "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Our focus will be on verse 29. And the message I would like to share today is, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." And verse 29, that's where we get the theme for our message today. And verse 29 reads, "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." As a way of introduction, I would like to say the following. That Lamb of God is a title for Jesus that appears in the Gospel of John. It appears in John chapter 1, verse 29, which we have just read, where John the Baptist sees Jesus and exclaims, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It appears again in John chapter 1, verse 36. And in verse 36, we read, "The next day again John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, Behold the Lamb of God." In Bible times, when a person sinned, they would take a lamb to the temple to sacrifice. To be called a Lamb of God means that God offered Jesus as a sin offering. He offered Jesus to be killed like a lamb for our sins, so that we could have eternal life, so that we live forever. Most Old Testament passages that mention lamb refer to a sacrifice. According to the Holy Scriptures in Exodus 29, verse 38, both in the tabernacle and in the temple in Jerusalem, priests used to sacrifice a lamb in the morning and evening every day. For hundreds of years, Jews brought lambs to the temple as sacrifices for their sins. They kept coming back year after year because no lamb could take away all their sins. This morning, I shall endeavor, first of all, to notice why John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God. Secondly, I will take note of Jesus' mission to take away the sin of the world. And then I shall conclude by noticing an important invitation from John the Baptist, where he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," in order for us to consider to follow Jesus. So firstly, let's consider why John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God. I believe that all of you do wonder, when you read this particular passage of Scripture, why John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God. John the Baptist, like we have read, introduces Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As a result of this testimony, the first two disciples begin following Jesus. But calling Jesus Lamb, the Lamb, draws in part on Old Testament traditions concerning the Passover Lamb. The Passover tradition celebrates Israel's deliverance from slavery in Egypt. The people of Israel were told to sacrifice lambs and smear some of the blood around the doorposts of their houses in order to protect them from the destroyer who slew the firstborn in the household of the Egyptians. And that's according to Exodus chapter 12. The sacrifice of lambs each year at the Jewish festival of Passover, commemorated this deliverance from death. However, throughout the Old Testament, the term lamp without blemish, and that's Exodus 12 verse 5, was the animal God designated to be sacrificed for the sins of his people as a prophetic symbol of the lamp without sin, whom God will provide for himself. Genesis 22, verse 8, to pay the death penalty due for sinners, who then can be spared? Now, Genesis 22, verse 8, this is the passage where we see Abraham taking his son Isaac to be sacrificed according to God's command. And Isaac asked the father, but where is the lamb? And Abraham told Isaac, God will provide for himself. Now that was prophetic regarding the lamb which God was later to provide for himself to pay the death penalty due for the sinners who then can be saved. The lamp imagery also draws on the description of the suffering servant of God, who is compared to a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and is said to have taken upon himself the sin of others. And for that, I would like to quickly read Isaiah 53, and verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 53, verse 6 to 7 reads as follows. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. According to John chapter 19, verse 14, Jesus was crucified on the day of preparation for the Passover, the day when the lambs were sacrificed. It was stipulated that no bone of a Passover lamb was to be broken. And John points out that none of Jesus' bones was broken in the process of crucifixion. He dies as a perfect Passover sacrifice. Maybe we should read quickly John 19, verse 36. It reads as follows. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. Not one of his bones will be broken. So we go to our next point. I would like us to look at his mission. His mission to be a sacrificial lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As already noted, according to the Holy Scriptures in Exodus 29, verse 8, both in the tabernacle and the temple, priests used to sacrifice a lamb in the morning and evening, literally every day. For hundreds of years, Jews brought lambs to the temple. They sacrificed for their sins every day. They kept coming back year after year because no lamp could take away all their sins. Now, this was problematic because we need our sins to be taken away, all our sins to be taken away. However, the Jews did this year after year and literally every day. Whenever you commit your sin, you have to go to the temple, take a lamp, so that the sin offering can be offered on your behalf, and the lamp will take away your sin. It is through his death on the cross, the death of Christ, as God's perfect sacrifice for sin, and his resurrection 3 days later, that we can now have eternal life if we believe in him. So Jesus, as the sacrificial lamp of God, who takes away the sin of the world, he died for us, and he gives us the gift of eternal life if we believe in him. The fact that God himself has provided the offering that atones for our sin in part of the glorious good news of the gospel, that is so clearly stated in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 21, and I'll quickly read it for us. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamp without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but it was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. So we see that Christ's mission is to give or to grant to us the pardon of sin. You know, to die for our sins so that we receive God's pardon and to receive forgiveness and to receive the gift of eternal life. As we consider the new year, I believe that this is a very important message for us to consider. As we look at the past and as we look at the future, I think this is a very important message to consider. As John invites us and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And in conclusion, I would like to take some minutes to look at or to take note of John the Baptist's invitation. John the Baptist gives us an invitation when he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That statement in itself is both an introduction. He introduces Jesus to us, but at the same time, he is inviting us to consider Jesus. So John the Baptist introduces Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As a result of this testimony, like I've mentioned earlier on, the first two disciples begin following Jesus. Two important reasons why John the Baptist is inviting us to follow Jesus. The first one, John bears witness that he is the Son of God. And as the Son of God, he is the Savior of the world. I'll read quickly John chapter 1, verse 29 to 34, where the Bible says, "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him.'" John himself did not know him. "But for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And today we can say that that he might be revealed to the world. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. So John bears witness that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is the reason why he is inviting, or firstly, he is introducing Christ to us. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And secondly, this is the reason why John is inviting us to consider Jesus. So in the new year, I would like to invite you to consider Jesus because he is the Son of God. The second reason why John is inviting us to consider Jesus is because Jesus gives us the right to become children of God. According to John chapter 1, verse 12. And the Bible says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So we need to consider Jesus because he is the one who gives us the right to become children of God. There's no one else. Religion will never give you the power or the right to become children of God. Your church will never give you the power or the right to become a child of God. It's not like the minister of marriage who has been given the power by government and by God to declare you man and wife. But in this case, only Jesus Christ can declare you the child of God. He can give you the power to become a child of God. Only him and no one else. Life for the Jews under the time of John the Baptist was exceedingly difficult. Just like it is difficult today. For example, Pontius Pilate was described by Agrippa 1 as unbending and severely stubborn, and was accused of bribery, cruel, and countless murders. This portrait is confirmed by the Jewish historian Josephus, who wrote a number of events that provoked the Jews under Pilate and other procurators, leading to riots, beatings, and executions. What I'm saying is that during the time of John the Baptist, the Jews were going through difficulty, and they were looking for answers to the troubles and the difficulties of their life. King Herod proved to be an extremely capable tyrant. To consolidate his power, he had numerous opponents and relatives executed, including his wife. In his final years, Herod was plagued by domestic problems. He died unloved and unmourned by both family and nation. Before he died, Jesus of Nazareth was born. So what I'm saying is that the passage we are reading here, the message we are considering today, and the invitation we are receiving from John the Baptist to consider Jesus, it was done at the time of extreme difficulty in the lives of the people. Today we are also faced with many problems and challenges, one of which is the deadly global pandemic of the coronavirus. Because of this, people are fast losing hope because the world is devastated and many people are getting sick by thousands and millions, and many others are dying in thousands. World economies are fast collapsing. Where do we run to, and who can give us hope for the future? Scientists? Economists? Or is it politicians? Or doctors? Who can give us hope for the future? Like John the Baptist, I would like to point you to Jesus, the Son of God, who gives us hope for eternal life. Not just life in this world, but life after this life. Let me leave you with this passage in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, starting from verse 1. And I will read a few verses from that. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." These words are trustworthy and true. So, brothers and sisters, I would like to encourage you with this invitation from John. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I would like to mention as I conclude that the world means everyone. Regardless of your race or tribe, your nationality, your economic status, everything. The invitation is extended to all of us, young or old, male or female. The invitation is to all of us. Therefore, would you consider Jesus as we spend this new year, 2021? Will you consider Jesus? He is the real answer to all our challenges and difficulties and problems. Yes, we may die, for to die we shall die. But we die with hope, knowing that when we die, we shall be with Christ forever and ever. Shall we pray? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful message. Thank you for encouraging us, challenging us, and helping us to see that the answer is with you and not in our scientists and not in our doctors and not in our nurses and not in our politicians and not in anything that we can do on our own, but that you provide the answer. And the best answer is for us to be forgiven of our sins and to receive the gift of eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray for everyone who has been listening to this broadcast. I pray that, Lord, you touch every one of them and may you draw them closer to yourself. Open their eyes, open their minds, and may they understand this word, because in the Holy Scriptures, it is declared that it is the truth. There's no any other truth apart from this one. So we thank you, Lord, and we pray that may you continue to speak to us as we continue with our life in the new year. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray and we give thanks. Amen.